This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutin. With me, Joyce Goh and Tan Chung Han. With the top business stories of the day, a look at the tax man. It's zooming in on crypto exchanges.
Yazoo sources told Starbiz that the tax department was the main party that had requested for the freezing of Luno's account. Many had believed that the freezing of the account was linked to central bank's rules relating to any money laundering, but that turns out to be linked to the tax man. So Luno is one of the largest cryptocurrency exchanges in Malaysia. So it looks like the tax man is also after cryptocurrency in a way, yeah?
Yeah. Well, in the lead up to this story, we actually got informed by a listener that apparently Luno's accounts at two major banks here in Malaysia, which I won't name, those accounts have been frozen. They were suspended for deposits and even withdrawals. And our channel checks, you know, from the folks here at the Morning Run and at the station, and we asked around, and apparently that's been the case. However, you know, given this really fluid world of cryptocurrencies, apparently it's not really been affecting those guys who've had funds or cryptocurrencies in Luno. They've been able to shift those monies around. But the question here is, you know, when can Luno reach some kind of settlement or some kind of agreement with the regulators here in Malaysia, and how is it going to affect those who have funds in Luno?
Well, this also told Starbiz that what the tax parties are looking at is how people are conducting the trades on Luno, the source of funds, and whether sufficient tax has been paid by the owners of those funds. Again, because the way of how, I mean, how cryptocurrency is used,
it's
in a way,
right?
You can't, and you can't tell who's behind it in a way, right? So Luno head of Asia Pac, Vijay Iyer, told Starbiz Week that it is working with Maybank and the tax people on a few things, and for the time being, they're not allowing any transactions. So a lot will be clearer over the next month once the regulations come out, and all existing deposits, ringgit and Bitcoin, remain safe with them.
You know, I'm quite surprised that people would accept Bitcoins as exchange, because as a store of value, it's very, very volatile, right? So, because currencies go up and down, but they're fairly stable. You know, I mean, they kind of trade it within a range, right? Cryptos are like phenomenal.
Yeah, up and
it's
down.
It's great if it's going to go up and up and up, but it doesn't always go up. It also comes down.
And when it drops, it really drops, right? So last month, Shirai, do you know Bank Negara revealed then an average of 75 million ringgit in transactions of Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies were transacted each month in Malaysia on four digital currency exchanges.
Yeah, but I think it's also very important for us to note here, okay, folks, that Bank Negara has come out to say and remind us that cryptocurrencies are not considered legal tender here in Malaysia. I mean, we have seen those viral pictures of that makcik selling, accepting Bitcoin. You had a news recently about Proton not accepting Bitcoin or for some of its transactions. So,
but what happens if people do accept it? What if it's just all this, you know, kind of media attention on Bitcoin just makes people think, wow, not only will I get paid, I could actually earn some money because of the increase in the value of the Bitcoin.
Actually, for a local context of it, a businessman in Sabah signed and sealed a sale of piece of land in Sabah's East Coast using Bitcoin. Did you know that, huh?
Yeah, well, I did not know that. I did not think so, that, Joyce. And apparently there's another like mega million mansion that's up for sale in Miami, I think. And the owner, who's apparently a kidney specialist or something, not that it matters, but he's wanting Bitcoin for the
only
sale
Bitcoin,
of the mansion, right?
Only Bitcoin, yeah. So there are people out there who really believes in this cryptocurrency thing. Coming back to Malaysia, though, SC and Bank Negara are working closely to release a cryptocurrency framework for the country, I think, within the next few months. Looking at, right?
Yeah. And then I think zooming it out to the region, over the weekend, you had the Bank of Indonesia, who have actually said that, you know, they have actually issued a fresh warning, right, about trading in cryptocurrencies. And essentially, it's due to the risk of losses, or at least that's what they claim now, the risk of losses to the public and even a potential threat to the stability of the financial system.
Yeah, coming back to taxmen and cryptocurrency as well, South Korea's National Tax Service began investigations on South Korea's leading virtual currency exchanges, Bitthumb and
That's something that can be added to your mama's menu or something.
So it looks like they're all looking after, I mean, again, is the whole taxing the digital economy as well, you know?
Yeah, and really also for our economy as a relatively small one, whether we can be seen to be unfriendly to innovations in the financial sector, right? I mean, countries as big as China could do anything they want, but can Malaysia and, you know, kind of middle middling sized countries do that?
Well, I guess for the point of view of regulators is more of because of money laundering and terrorism financing. They're more concerned of that. And of course, Taxman is concerned of tax evasion, right?
They want money.
Loss of income.
Okay, but on the flip side, you've got, I mean, just to give a balanced outlook here, right? You got Japan, who have wholeheartedly, or apparently quite wholeheartedly, embraced the cryptocurrency revolution, right? In fact, you've got banks forming together and issuing their own Bitcoin as well. I mean, heck, even Kodak is coming up with their own cryptocurrencies as well, right? So, you know, it really depends on where you are in the spectrum. But I think, again, it's important for us to remember, remind our listeners about the stance for Malaysian regulators, lest you fall run afoul of the law. We don't want that happening to our listeners, right?
Not at all. Okay, now moving on. Malaysia saw some 50 million tourist arrivals in 2017, last year, and that's giving a lift to, of all things, local theme park operators.
Yeah, so this was a story in the Malaysian Reserve today, and the number they cited, 49.4 million tourists, foreign tourists coming to Malaysia, which was rather odd. Joyce and I, we were kind of looking deeper into this number before the show, because if you look at, say, the 2017 target for tourist arrivals in Malaysia, it was just 31 million. So I'm not sure where they got that near 50 million figure that they, you know, came up with.
But maybe they have an updated figure or
what. That's a huge update there. Yeah. From 31 to 49.
True, but at the end of the day, theme parks, as the story goes, are benefiting from this influx of foreign tourists. And I guess also Chuti Malaysia.
Yeah,
as they shared. So you can see, like, the Malaysian Reserve, they carried an interview with the CEO of Sunway Malls and Theme Parks, H.C. Chan. And they said that Sunway Lagoon and Lost World of Tambun saw 1.6 million visitors in 2017.
Yeah, so essentially Malaysia is trying to position itself as the theme park capital in ASEAN. No, doesn't that excite your swimming trunks there, Sharad?
We have more than 20 theme parks at Wonder Park.
So I think I'm not quite the demographic for, you know, theme parks. I think it's an appeal to for kids for sure,
and people
and people who have kids.
Oh, and people who can fit in the seats. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, all right. So so you've got more expected to come online, more theme parks. Okay, apparently there's this Ubisoft video game theme park, and also Genting's 20th Century Fox theme park, but that has been delayed quite a bit.
Yeah, it's supposed to. I mean, the Fox theme park was supposed to happen, I think, end of 2016, right? So that's been delayed and it's still ongoing, because when they first announced it, it was at the end of 2013. And it looks like we're still waiting for that to happen.
Yeah, I think one of the things that we talked about just now, you know, this idea that we could be the hub for theme parks in the region is, of course, Singapore. The specter that always haunts Malaysia in terms of getting that quality. Can we be as good as Singapore and even do better than Singapore?
Well, they've got Universal Studios down there, but you know, that theme park as well has been haunted by some mechanical failures in recent years as well. And also, I mean, we still have plenty of options here. We'll have to see. I mean, let the battle for theme park hub begin.
Okay, we're coming up to the top of the hour. We'll have the news and then we'll be back with the Breakfast Grill. Remember, our guest this morning is Zaid Al-Bahruddin, Executive Secretary of Barisan National Youth, and Syed Saddiq Syed Abdul Rahman, head of the youth wing of Parti Pribumi Bersatu Malaysia, or Bersatu as it's often known. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.